to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praise and roar. From the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Yeah, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
If you will, and hallelujah means praise to the Lord. So we say, I raise a praise to the Lord. So someone say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, that sounded a little weak. Don't you hate when a pastor asks you to say something over and over? I'm sorry, but let's do it one more time. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise to the Lord. We celebrate Him. He is so good. Who's happy to be here instead of standing outside in the cold right now? All right. See, we're blessed. It's great. It's warm in here. You didn't have to walk to get here today. So many things to be thankful for. If you're participating online, it's an honor to have you with us. We would ask you to text the word welcome to 256-322-6100. It's on the screen. If you'll text that, that will start a conversation with us. If you're in the room and a guest, if you'll take the worship registration that's attached to the worship guide you received and fill that out. And for our regular attenders and members, there's several things on there that you can sign up to be a part of. So you can go ahead and look at that if you will. Now, we are praying this week for those in our church that have the last name that starts with the letter F. We've made our way that far in our photo app directory, and so we're praying for F. If you have that last name, we're praying for you this week and thankful for you. And so also our church of the week we're praying for is Life Church of Boaz. That church has not officially launched yet. They will officially start in the first Sunday of January of this coming year. They're meeting now as a core group. It is being planted by Pastor Lynn Darnell, who we supported as he planted the Bridge Church in Geraldine, and now they are sending him out, and us along with them are supporting them in that work there and for what's happening. We're thankful for that. And then our mission of the week, our missionaries of the week, we're praying for the future Hispanic church planter for our area. We'll talk about that a little bit later, so just know we'll give you more info about that later on today, so we'll know how to pray. But before we pray, I want to take just a moment. I want us to stop and reflect on how God is so good to us. You think about what we just sang. I love the phrase, my weapon is a melody. It's the idea that when we sing praise to God, it is spiritual warfare. The scripture is clear when we lift up praise to Him and to sing praise to Him that it is what we are called to do, and it is spiritual warfare. Let me give you an example right now. I will show you how your weapon is a melody. Sing this with me. Amazing grace. Come on. How sweet the sound. Lift it up. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Blind, but now I see. When you sing those words, words, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Is that not worship for you? Do you not feel that, sense that? Do you not have a recollection and a memory of all the good things that God has done in your life? So what are you thankful for today? Now, I'll start with salvation. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful that God has made us new. But what else are you thankful for today? Would you lift your voice in a loud voice? What are you thankful for today? Family. Shout it out. Church, what else? What are you thankful for today?
Freedom,
yes. We're going to be thankful and talk about our veterans at the very end of the service today. That's coming. Yes, sir. What are you thankful for today? God's faithfulness. What else? Your Lord. Yes. What else?
Forgiveness.
Worship. What else are you thankful for today? This nice warm building. Heat works. Vehicle. Probably didn't come here hungry. Think of all the ways that God has blessed us and provided for us. I'm so thankful for that. There is a little chorus that we learned as children that says, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. Listen, isn't He good? Let's sing about that and to Him now. Let's pray. Father God, You are good. You are good when the answer is yes, and You are good when the answer is no. You are good when the answer is right now, and You are good when the answer is you're going to have to wait a while. Father, You are good in good times, and You are good in difficult times because You walk with us. The scripture is so clear. It says that in this world we will have trouble, but take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. And God, thank You that we can be overcomers as well. God, You are good in that You are hope. You are good in that You are mercy. You are good in that You are grace. You are good in that You are freedom. You are good in that You provide new opportunities. You provide life. And Lord, even when You take life, we are reminded that You are so good because You know what is best for us and for all. So God, I ask that even as we sing this, we would be reminded of Your faithfulness and Your goodness. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask, here, Lily, come here. You did this earlier service. You may not feel led to this time, but we're going to do it anyway. So I think through, she did it the earlier service, not me. So I think through what we're about to sing, this song that talks about the goodness of God. And Lily shared just a little testimony this morning that I didn't know she was going to share. Would you share it again?
I didn't know I was going to share it.
Okay, either. Well, here, would you do it again? Like you're going to tell me no right now in front of all these people. So would you share it again real quick, if you will?
When we sang the song, God is so good, and then we sang the little chorus, God will make a way, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share something. And so I wasn't sure I was going to share it in this service, but looks like sure. It was 22 years ago today that I lost our only biological child. And that's not it's a sad anniversary, but it's not. It's just after all these years, it's a sweet little anniversary. But those two songs just made me really think how when you're going through something that doesn't feel good and you don't see how anything good could happen from it. But I just wanted to encourage people just to remind you that God is faithful and He'll make a way, even if it's a way you didn't see coming, He'll make it. And of course, I can look around and see two of my little blessings that came later in a way that I didn't know were coming. And so if you're going through something, just hang in there. He'll make a way, even if you can't imagine what it could be.
And He is faithful to us. And even in dark moments and difficult moments, and hard moments, when we see that God, His plan is so much better than ours. So maybe your struggle is something similar. Maybe it's small, maybe it's large. I don't know. But I will tell you this, no matter what, God is good. Let's sing about that together. Let's stand together and sing about it.
Height or depth. Sing that out, church.
No height.
separate. Your steadfast love, who can escape? Your faithfulness, an endless sea. So full of grace and mercy, and we sing, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I'm haunted by the past. And I'm haunted by the past no more. My innocence has been restored. Forgiveness flows from your veins. Oh, your kindness shown in all. Sing this chorus, God will make a way. Sing that out, church. Oh, and God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. We've heard a fantastic testimony about God's goodness. We've lifted up praises, ways that God has been good to us. And as we sing that song's a beautiful song, but I got to tell you, God will make a way. Sometimes it is really hard to sing that song. especially when you're going through your own personal struggle. And just look around you this morning. There's people here. You're here, and you're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. And I want you, if you hear nothing else today, hear this. God has not forgotten about you. He is still good. He is still sovereign. And if your way seems dark, if your way seems bleak, if there's so much uncertainty in your life, He will make a way. You may not see it. You may not feel it, but He's going to provide a way for you. So as we sing this again, God will make a way. I want you to lift your voice. I don't know what you're going through, but guess what? We have a Creator who created you, who knows every fiber of your being, who knows exactly what you're going through right now. So let's sing this out. God will make a way. Sing that together. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see.
Do something if we can. I realize we sing words like that. God will make a way. We're going to sing it one more time. And even as Don shared, we think that's personal and real. I know even for Don in his life and something with his health concerns for his father, you think we need God to make a way when there is no way. I think in mine and Lily's lives and some specific prayers we've prayed over the last year that we knew there was no way we could fix the problems that were happening with some loved ones around us in different ways and extended family and all. And just to see God doing that and to see, and he's not finished, but to see him doing it, we were just talking about how blessed we are and how thankful we are that God can make a way when there seems to be no way. So maybe you're in this room and I want to take this real seriously for a moment. And you say, I will humble myself enough to say that there is something in my life, whether it's for a family member, a friend, a health condition, whether it's for a need in your family, you would say there's something in my life that if God doesn't make a way, it's just not gonna happen. We wanna pray for you. We're gonna pray specifically for you. So if that's you, if you say, I need God to make a way because there is no other way for, you don't have to tell us what it is. You know what it is, whether it's health, family, some other circumstance. If that's you, will you have the courage to do something? I'm going to ask you, if you say, I need God to make a way because I don't know any other way, I want to ask you to come stand right down front here and we're going to pray for you. So if that's you and you need God to do something, you come right now. You come right down here and stand. So in this, up here, are circumstances that I know some of them, and it makes me very concerned for my friends here. I know several of them. There are some that I don't know, but there are some that I do know. So here's what I know, though, that if we don't really believe God can do anything, then why are we even here? If we don't really believe that God can make a way and bring mercy and grace in someone's life, then why did we show up and get dressed on this cold morning? You'd be better off at home. So if we believe that, here's what I'm going to ask. We don't have to know the circumstance. God does. So I want to ask some of our remaining faith family. I'm going to ask some of you just to come and maybe just place a hand on the shoulder around someone. And then we're going to pray together. So would you come? Would you come? And we're going to, if you need to stay at your seat, that's fine. But if you physically can, just come and get near somebody. Doesn't matter who. And we're going to pray for them. And we're going to pray for God to do a work in them. You don't have to know the circumstance. God knows it intimately. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something that may make a few of you uncomfortable because you've never experienced it here recently, maybe, but we're all going to pray out loud at once. Now, listen, God hears millions of prayers at a time. Don't think that a couple hundred of us talking out loud in this room is going to confuse him one bit. So we're going to speak with boldness to the Lord and ask him to move in people's lives. And so I'm going to turn my microphone off and I'll pray. But when my microphone comes back on, that means we'll be settling down that prayer to end it. But I'm going to ask you to pray. And if you came for prayer, let us pray for you. But then also, would you pray out loud for that one next to you, that brother or sister that has a need? Let's take time to pray right now. Let's lift it up together. Oh, Father, the prayers of your saints, the book of Revelation tells us, are like sweet-smelling incense in your presence. So, God, as we lift up this sweet fragrance to you, my prayer is that you would hear our calls and our cries where we ask you to move in power. Lord, you're good whether you give a yes or no, but we're asking that you would move. We're asking that you would restore relationships that need to be restored. We're asking that you would bring physical healing where it needs to be given. We're asking that you would help people with that are waiting on legal documents or difficulties, even with things like that. Lord, you know what it is they're waiting on and needing. People that have a great financial burden in this room, people that are dealing with other emotional needs or family needs, or they have a child, an adult child, or a parent, or someone that doesn't know you. God, we're asking you to draw them to you. Lord, quite frankly, I don't know all the needs, but you do. So we're simply asking, as they come in faith, asking, Lord, that you would move. Lord, that your yes be yes, or your no, that we will take that and we will walk with it, knowing that you will provide grace and mercy to walk every step of the way with it. But we thank you in advance for what we believe you can do and you will do. And we're asking that you would move in the hearts and minds of people and in their lives. Because you are a great God, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing it one more time as everybody makes their way back. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. One more time, lift it up with all you got. God, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make Thank you for praying together. This is what we're called to do as a faith family. What a blessing, what a blessing. Philippians chapter 2, if you'll turn there. want to share with you a very short message. There's two sermons today. They're both quick, I promise. You'll see. I know pastors say that and don't mean it. I mean it. So let me share with you really quickly a practical step about the Good Neighbor Initiative. Several of you signed up this past week to begin praying for your neighbors. Thank you. If you haven't yet, there's info in the worship guide. Go ahead and sign up. If you have been signed up since January, have a renewed commitment to pray for them. But have you ever had good intentions to do something and just didn't do it? We've all probably done that at some point in life. Let me give you three sad examples from my own life that I wish weren't true but were. Number one, there have been at least, well, more than a couple of times that I have said I intended to get up and go to the gym at 5 a.m. and instead I hit snooze and went back to sleep. Anybody else? All right. How about this? I intended to eat a healthy breakfast, but instead I had a donut. Anybody else? Haven't done it recently, but I have done it. How about this? I intended to check my email really quick before bed, and I went down the dark hole of Facebook for 45 minutes. Have you been there? And you start looking at them, why am I doing this? But it happens. Teachers, have you ever had a student say, I really intended to get an A on this test? Do you just say, okay, well, here's an A? No. Parents, have you ever had a child say, I meant to clean my room? Do you just say, that's okay, I'll clean it for you? No. What about employers? Have you ever had someone, maybe every single day, someone different come in and say, I really meant to get here on time today, but just couldn't do it? You understand. The idea is this, the value of an intention is found in the action. It is not found in the intention. You can have the best of intentions to love your neighbors, to pray for your neighbors, to live the gospel for our neighbors, but intention is just not enough. Philippians chapter 2, listen to verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from his love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, Paul says, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Paul says, if you are in Christ, then be of one mind and purpose. If there is any encouragement because of being in Christ, if there is any comfort from being in his love, if there is any participation from being in his Spirit, then be of one mind and purpose. So what is the purpose? It's the next verse, Philippians 2:3. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility considers others more significant than yourselves. So the idea of putting others first has to start in our minds. If we are in Christ, if we have comfort from his love, if we participate in the Spirit, it starts in our minds, but it cannot just remain there. I'm afraid a number of people have shortened the phrase in this verse that says, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, to simply say, do nothing. Now, what I would say is it's dangerous. It's easy to think, do nothing, but it's do nothing. It implies we are doing something. We're doing it without selfish ambition or vain conceit. Think about your life and how it works. In this modern day world of social media that is so prevalent in so many of our lives, if you see something that you love on someone's post, what do? You give it a heart emoji. Or if you see something that moves you and you feel bad for them or you're excited for them but you want to tell them that you care, you give them the yellow round ball guy hugging the heart emoji. I don't know what you call the care emoji, right? Is that what it's called? The care emoji? You give them the care emoji. But do you know what you've done by doing that? Nothing. No offense, but nothing. You can, it's great to, they can know that you care, but that's like saying, I intend to help you. You really want to care for someone who's got a struggle. What do? You show up at their door and pray for them. You really want to care for someone who's got a struggle. Send them a private message and pray for them, not just the care emoji, because they're going to get 100 of those and not even know who sent it. But you want to do it. We show up. We get involved in people's lives. So here's how I would word it. Social media emojis are just digital good intentions. That's all it is. It's just a digital good intention. We intend to do something, so we do the best we can by doing this. But the passage in Philippians implies that good intentions must lead to action. Look at verse 4, Philippians 2, 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Verse 9, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what does Paul say here? Paul says, look to the interest of others and use Jesus as your model. So how does Paul describe the Jesus model in Philippians 2? Here's what he says. Did you catch it? He says, Jesus emptied himself. He took the form of a servant, and then his kindness led people to him. So here's the Jesus model for you and for me. It's simple. If we really want to have fulfill the purpose that God has for us, for our neighbors, for our family, for our friends, here's what you and I are supposed to do. It's simple. Empty yourselves, take the form of a servant, and let our kindness point people to Jesus. So here's the main idea today. We can't simply desire to pray. We can't just desire to love. We can't just desire to serve. We have to pray, we have to love, and we have to serve. Here's how I would phrase it. Pay attention to good intentions. You can have a good intention, but you better pay attention to it and do something with it, or it will end with your thought and your mind and your heart or something like that. So we must pay attention to the good intention and seek to live it out. Think about your neighbors for a moment. Your neighbors, remember that your first neighbor is the people who live with you. It's people in your home, your spouse, your children, your parents, whoever it is. They're your first neighbors. They're your closest neighbors. So the goal is not just to pray, have the right intention to love them, but you pray for them, you serve them, you care for them, you point them to Jesus through acts of kindness. And then your neighbors are those who live near you or those who work near you. And then we'll even expand it to that, for those that are around you that you don't know, who are not like us. All of those would be the biblical understanding of neighbor. So when the scripture tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and then Paul tells us to empty ourselves, to humble ourselves before the Lord, to empty ourselves and to show kindness that points people to Jesus. That's how we model that. There are two verses that I will share with you that I love. They're very pointed. 1 John 3:18 says this, little children, talking to all of us, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. That's powerful. Let me read it again. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed or truth. We can tell people we love them all day, but if we don't show them, we've not shown them. We can tell people we care about them and that Jesus loves them all day, but if we don't live it out, we've not lived it out. One of the most convicting testimonies I've ever seen about Jesus and who he is comes from an atheist. Many of you know, for a number of years, it seems like a lifetime ago, it was in the early 90s, I traveled across the nation and I would do music and speaking, but I also, this is going to sound shocking to a few of you to hear for the first time, but I had a stage illusion show. I was a Christian illusionist, and so I had boxes, I cut Lily in half and all that kind of stuff. If you want to see it, too bad. We don't do that anymore. She doesn't want to get in the box. We don't have the box. We're not doing that, okay? We're not available for your child's birthday party. Don't ask. But I would say this. They used to do all it for years. And so I followed some of the greatest people who were technicians of that type of stuff. And there was this one group, and it's a comedy duo who are incredible illusionists in their own right, brilliant minds. They've invented a lot of things. Penn and Teller, some of you have heard of them. Penn himself is a well-known atheist. He does not believe in Jesus and does not believe in the gospel. But I have a copy of a video that he shares. And it's the most powerful testimony for a believer that I've heard, because he says, I would say this to those who claim to know this Jesus. He would say, I fully expect you to proselytize me. That means to try to win me over. He said, I would fully expect you to do that, because if you really believe what the Bible says and you really believe that Jesus did what he said he does and does what he says he does, then you could not live your life without trying to win me over. He says, so I fully respect the person, even if I don't agree, who tries to win me to Christ. What a powerful thought. If we really believe when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, then we have to put feet to our faith and put action to that. We have to seek to live that out. We have to seek to empty ourselves, humble ourselves before the Lord, and show kindness that leads to others. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And then James 4:17, it says this, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. Now, you put that in the right context of what it's talking about there, the reality is it still applies. If we know the right thing to do in living for our faith and in honoring the Lord and making wise choices, and we choose not to do it, it says for us, it is sin. It's not just a sin to do the wrong thing. It can be a sin to do nothing when we know the right thing to do. So it's important that we understand that when God tells us to love others, to empty ourselves, to take the form of a servant, when he tells us it's the kindness of the Lord that leads people to repentance, you and I are bound by calling to show kindness and love and care for others. So God's love must be lived. I saw on Facebook this last week a lot of people hurrying up and getting their last parts of their fall crop and their fall garden in because they knew about this frost that's coming, and all this week things are going to be frozen, and we may wake up every morning this week with frost, or at least at some point before the week's over. It's going to be a cold week. And it's supposed to be. It's Christmas, everybody. But anyway, so it's supposed to be cold. And so I saw all this last bits of people's crops that they would have pictures of and were there. Now, I want you to think, if you're a gardener, and I'm not much of a gardener, but if you are, I know a little bit about it. I know enough to know this. If I go to the co-op, or I go to Lowe's, or I go to the farmer's market, and I buy a packet of seeds because I want to plant something, and I come home, and I take that packet of seeds that's in a paper packet or a plastic packet, most of the time it's cardboard or paper now, if I take it and I look at that and I say, I believe in you, seeds, you're going to do awesome things. You're going to grow and make me some wonderful fried green tomatoes, because I'm not going to let them turn red, because tomatoes were never intended to be red. They're supposed to be green. This is my story, okay? So anyway, I'm just so excited for you. I can't wait to see what happens. Listen, if you have seeds and you look at it, you can even pray for those seeds. Oh, Lord, do something. You can take water and pour them over that paper packet. What's going to happen? Nothing. Because if you don't take that seed out of the packet and put it in soil, it will not germinate, it will not grow, it will not produce a crop. And friends, the good intentions of your life and mine are just like a packet of seeds. If we don't take the intention out of the pack and put it into the soil in action of our lives, it will not germinate, it will not take root, it will not grow, it will not provide a crop. And so the truth is, for you and for me, the simplest message we could have today, and then we're done, is this, that you and I would make a commitment that says, I will empty myself today, I will humble myself before the Lord, and I will find one or two specific neighbors, people near me, people I work with, people near the church, two or three specific people over the next 3 or 4 days, I will do one act of kindness for them that points them to Jesus. If it's bake them cookies, bake them cookies. If it's call them and tell them you're praying for them, call them and tell them. If it's knock on the door and say, I just want you to know I pray for all my neighbors every week. If there's ever anything I can pray for you, just let me know. That's all. If it's to go to your server at your favorite restaurant today and be a blessing to them, I don't know. Whatever the case may be, I'm asking that you would join me in not just praying for my neighbors, but for me to take the next step for some people near me, one or two, not all 40, you're not going to be able to do that. Pick one or two, and this week, not over the next month, in the next 3 to 4 days, find some way to physically live it out. Would you commit to do that with me? It says right here, let us not love in word or talk, but indeed in truth. So that's the message. The first message is coming to a close. We're not even going to sing, Don. Coming to a close here. And that message is this. Will you join me? If you are in Christ, if in, beginning of Philippians, if and in, will you do that? Will you join me in that? Would you bow your heads for just a second? We're not done yet, but just bow your heads for just a moment. What about you? Will you help me? Will you do what the Lord has called you to do? Will we live that out? Now, I'm not going to try to play on your emotions. I just simply want to ask you to think it through. Is there one person near you or two people near you? Maybe it's somebody in your home, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody at your workplace, someone where you frequent a lot, that you can empty yourself, take the form of a servant, and perform some act of kindness that points them to Jesus. If you will commit to do that with me, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to be the only person looking, and I'm not going to point you out or judge you one way or the other. But if you'll join me in that commitment, I want to know to pray for you. If you say, Chris, I will, in the next 3 to 4 days, I will do that with 2 to 3 people. I will find a way to empty myself, take on the form of a servant, and do something. It can be simple. It can be a prayer. It can be a note. It can be a call. It could be an act of kindness. Some way I can point them, be a bridge for the gospel by letting them see the kindness of Jesus in me. If that's you and you'll make that commitment, would you hold your hand right up? Let me see it. Awesome. Awesome, guys. I'm praying for you. Father, I pray that you'd move in the lives of each of these folks. Lord, help me to have the follow-through for this. Help us each to have the follow-through for this. We've got friends and families and neighbors that desperately need to see you. And some of them that know you that desperately need to be encouraged back to you. Some that know you that just that walk with you but just need a word of encouragement. God, help us to be that and to live it out. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Message number 2. Are you ready? This one's going to be quick. 2 messages. That's the first one. Second one is this. Back in August, we shared the idea of adding an associate pastor. We were going to look for a Latino person that could serve our almost all Anglo church and help us as we want to help make a difference to reach Latino people in our community, our county, over 30% Hispanic, our school system sitting right at 58% Hispanic, looking at all the different numbers and all realizing we have one Hispanic Southern Baptist church in all of Marshall County, which is a travesty, and we want to be able to share the gospel and continue to see that happen. So we made a commitment that we would have seek to find an associate pastor that could help us make disciples and do that. Well, we are now asking that we step back from that. Let me tell you why. I truly believe, in the words of Henry Blackaby, that when God is working, you find where he's working and you join him in that. And you don't have to create your own way. So let me give you the backstory really quickly, and it'll take me 3 or 4 minutes to set the stage for this. In 2019, we felt a burden to plant a second Hispanic work because we knew we needed a dozen more in our county, not just one. And so we had a burden for that. So I found a willing coalition of pastors, 8 to 10 pastors from different churches from all around that said they would help. So we began to meet regularly and pray and seek the Lord. And then we brought in someone from the state convention to help us who specializes in that. And he talked with us. And so in January of 2020 at our missions conference, I shared we are going to plant a Hispanic church. We're going to figure out what that looks like and how to make it happen over the next 5 years. That was our goal at that point. If you remember that from 2020, or we may have said 3 years actually, over the next 3 years. And then 2 months later, this little thing happened called COVID. You guys remember it, I'm sure. And so when COVID happened, it changed everything. It shut down the state convention's part of that. The coalition fell apart of churches. We just had to put pause on that for a while. You jump forward a couple of years, we all came to the place where we realized that we definitely need to continue to reach Hispanics in our community to give them an opportunity to grow in the Lord. There are churches there, but the need is great for many more. And so we asked about having an associate pastor that would be Latino, that would help us to make disciples, whether it be ending up being a church plant, whether it be a worship service in our church, whether it be just integration into our service, whatever. We were open for whatever that would end up being and not try to presume what it was supposed to be in advance. And so that was the case. We prayed about it. Our missions committee got excited about it. Our deacons got excited about it. Our personnel team got excited about it. We brought it to you. The church voted to add an entire staff position. That was honestly quite a step of faith for us for finances and other things. And so we made the commitment to do so. This person would also handle local, be the director of local missions and ministry and international missions and ministries for our church. That'd be part of the job, but most of it was the Hispanic portion. So we voted to do that. We were moved forward. Now we're looking for the person. It's very hard to find a truly bilingual person that has a call specifically that would match all we're looking for and what we're doing. I received an email and then a phone call from someone I've known for 30 years, but haven't spoken with him for 7 to 8 years. He is a missions pastor of Dawson Baptist Church in Birmingham, Dawson Memorial Baptist Church, a very large, well-known church in our state convention, heavily involved in missions and ministry for decades. And we met, and this was after our vote and after all these things. And he said that the Lord has laid on their heart as a church a desire to plant 5 additional Hispanic churches in the state of Alabama by 2025. They had already planted one church 26 years ago. 26 years they have had a Hispanic church plant at their church, or Hispanic church that their church started and now still maintains. They have people worshiping there from 14 different nations in that one Hispanic congregation. That's awesome. It's done fabulous. And then they started another work 2 years ago in Fultondale, another suburb of Birmingham, and it is doing great. And then with this idea, they're now working with a partner church in Alabaster for another one. They're working with a church or a goal towards a church in Huntsville and a possible one in Athens. And he called us, knowing that we have a heart for ministry and missions. Again, not knowing that we were already contemplating looking for someone and not knowing our circumstance, he calls and says, we would like to do this and partner with you, and here's what we offer. We would like to provide, we'll help you. You can find the person or we'll help you find them, but we'll find a Latino person that's fully bilingual to be on your church staff that will be a church planter, to plant a church that you will plant. But for the first 9 months, they will live with us in Birmingham. We will house them. We'll move them from wherever they are in the nation. We'll pay all the moving expenses. We'll house them. We'll provide their utilities. And for 9 months, they'll be in a church planting residency in Spanish. It'll be a Hispanic church planting residency. None exists in our state right now. That's an amazing thing. Right now, a church planter gets 6 to 8 weeks of once a week classes. We're talking about 9 months of living and breathing and learning church planting world and ministry in the Hispanic context in Alabama. It's an incredible opportunity. So we'll provide that, but they work for you from that point forward, from the beginning. But we'll provide the 9 months. And in addition to that, we will help you plant the church. And here's how we'll help. We'll provide $30,000 the first year towards their salary, $30,000 the second year, $24,000 the third year, $18,000 the fourth year, and $12,000 the fifth year. And because we're willing to invest that, the state convention will come along and do something they don't ever do, and they will provide $12,000 of funding for 3 years in a row. If you need somebody to do the math for you, they basically said we will provide 9 months of training in Spanish, which is the most important part for church planting. And we will provide you with $150,000 to do that if your church would be willing to plant Hispanic work. Now, I don't know what they call that where you're from, but where I'm from, that's called a no-brainer, okay? The reality was, as when we sat with our deacons and talked about it, I wish I could convey to you, honestly, the excitement in the room, and the guys would tell you that. It was very exciting because it was as if, and I'm not trying to speak for the Lord, but it was as if God was saying to us, you have taken this step of faith, saying this is what we will do. We want to help reach this population segment and make disciples in our community. And because you have been willing to take the step of faith, I'm telling you, I got this, and I'm going to work out all the details. And I'm going to provide for it along the way. It's amazing. And so because of that, we definitely said yes. And so we want to back up. That can be done through our missions giving. We will only have a small part, probably around $15,000 a year, plus the use of our mission house, which was intended to be used anyway for such a purpose. And then we will help to fully fund and plant, along with the state convention and a church in Birmingham, a Hispanic work here. Now, what that means is we want to take the associate pastor position and put it on hold. Just sit it on a shelf for now. because we feel like this allows us to have a Latino person on our staff planting a church doing this. It happens to be funded mostly through outside sources. Our association will come along and partner a little bit as well. They've already made a commitment to do so and other things that are happening there. So there will be very minimal expense for us, but it's our work to be a part of and to help make happen, and we can invest in different ways. So what about the local ministries director, missions director, and the director of international ministries? That person was going to handle that. Right now, that still kind of falls on me, and we know that is, by the way, if you didn't know it, pastors are a bottleneck in the church. They're a bottleneck of information. They're a bottleneck of work. If everything has to go through them, it just, everyone doesn't get to do what they're called to do, and it doesn't always go as well. So we have a different plan, and for the next year, we're going to try something. This, through the full blessing and vote of our deacons and our personnel team, we'll hold off on an associate pastor. It doesn't mean in a year we might not go back and realize we need it and then do it. But for now, we're going to focus on finding a Hispanic church planter, and then we're going to use two families in our church to help us with the local and international ministries in a bigger, more significant way. It'll be very, very part-time, but they'll be laser-focused. On the local missions and ministry side, we have asked John Penny to serve as our director of local missions and ministry. Now, if you know John and Tracy Penny in our church, that is also what you call a no-brainer, right? You understand that. The reality of it is 70%, I don't think that's an outrageous number, 70% of our local missions and ministry, they already headed up anyway. They are an incredible team to help us. Anything to do with the Cal Bus, the Church on Wheels, they lead it. Anything to do with the Cahill Ministry Center, KO Kids Club, they lead it. Anything to do, every time we've ever done blessings in a backpack, not blessings in a backpack, Great Grocery Giveaway. I couldn't get my initials. B-I-B-G-G-G. I couldn't get it all. Every time we've ever done that for several years now, you think you just walk in and grab your two bags and go? Every bit of that mapping and putting those houses together, it's John and Tracy doing that. They already are doing it. So they will be laser focused to help us so that we can expand and grow and even do better our local ministry and missions. It's very exciting. And then on the international side, it's a very difficult to find someone who could spend, you know, 10 hours a week focusing on that or helping us with that, because we need someone who three or four times a year can hop on a plane and lead a trip in another country. We need someone who a couple of times a year might could go visit a missionary in need if they have an issue, who could be in communication with them regularly, but then go to your Sunday school class and say, there is this specific need for this missionary. Can you pray for them? Can you help them? And so we feel like the Lord sent us that person, and we didn't realize it either. And so we're asking Kevin and Beth Smith, who joined our church in late winter, early spring of this year, very active in ministry and missions, have a heart for missions and has a heart. Kevin is going to be leading an international trip for us to Japan in February that we're going to start talking about immediately if we have room for three people to go, if you'd like to go to Japan. But and then so he can take that. We needed someone who was retired, young enough with the health to be able to travel and do it, had the time, the ability, and the desire. And honestly, every bit of that, immediately when all this started to fall into place, my initial thought was Kevin Smith. And because the truth is, when they joined our church back a while ago, they were so actively involved in a previous place they were serving that I asked, why are you coming? Honestly, and I think in their own minds, they asked, why are we coming? Except the fact that the Lord had told them to. And they thought maybe for certain reasons, but now we believe it's for this reason. So I say all that to you to say this, that's not things that has to be voted on. That's using some people to help us in our own church to do some things on a director level kind of help for us. But we're going to take the associate pastor position and put it on hold. It doesn't mean it will never happen. It means for now, we're not pursuing it. We're going to try the other for a year. And then after a year, if that's not working, we can go back to an associate pastor. But we will be looking for a Hispanic church planter. Now, that's a lot of info I just gave you, but I hope you can see the hand of God and his work and all that. It is exciting to see. Listen, people don't walk up to you every day. One of the deacons asked me, did you call this guy and say, would you help us with Hispanic ministry? I haven't spoken to him in 7 to 8 years. And he calls out of the blue and said, would your church be willing to help make a difference for Hispanics in your community? After we had just voted to do that. That's the Lord. Who believes that if God orders it, he'll pay for it? Come on. Who believes that if God wants something to be done, he will provide the people and resources to step up to make it happen? We see God all over this. So be praying for that. If you have specific questions, I'd love to address them. You come talk to me afterwards. But I want you to know, when we say we're putting that on hold, it's not for a bad thing. It's for a good thing. Great things coming. Now, the only hard part of this is now we have to find the Hispanic church planter. We don't know where they are. You don't know where they are, but here's what I know. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He's going to provide. We've prayed about that. So when you saw today that we asked you to pray for, as the mission of the week, the new Hispanic church plant, that's what I'm talking about. There is no plant. There's no planter. Pray for that, for God to provide that person. Whether they live in Alabama already, whether they're in South Texas, whether did you realize that there are 2,000 Southern Baptist Hispanic churches? And I think it's about 75% of them, I think that's the right number, I have the statistics somewhere, are in Texas. So the reality is there may be a planter there waiting to come here. We don't know where they are on the nation or where they're from, but you pray for God to work out the details for all of that, okay? That is exciting. So that's the second sermon. Need you to pray, want you to know, and then we'll end with this. A couple of things to be thankful for and to know about. First of all, Friday was Veterans Day. And with Veterans Day, we always take time to stop and say thank you to our veterans. So if you have served in any branch of the military and you are in this room, we'd ask you right now just to stand to your feet so that we can thank you for your service. Go ahead and stand right now, if you will, all across the room. Anyone that has served in the military, thank you. God bless. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But I thank you, and so we honor all of you, and we're thankful for your service, and we're thankful for those that are serving actively now. But I want to share one specific thing with you, and that was this. Friday night was something very special. Our very own Jack Riley, who sings in the choir, has served on multiple leadership committees in our church, has been a deacon faithfully multiple times, a true leader among men and women in our church. Jack received something that does not happen very often. It is a rare, rare occasion that someone receives the Navy Silver Star. It's the third highest military honor that can be awarded. And it is also very, very rare that you would get it 55 and a half years after the combat took place. And I wish I could tell you all that we heard Friday night when we heard the story of what Jack did to save the lives of many, many soldiers. He's never going to tell you. But it was a joy and an honor to be in that room and hear it. I mean, it was a powerful moment. But we do want to celebrate him. He was in the early service, but it doesn't matter. I hope he's watching again online. I want to show you really quickly, about 90 seconds long, a news story that was run about Friday night, and then we're going to say thank you to Jack, even though he's not here.
New at 10, an Alabama veteran received one of the highest military honors this evening, the Silver Star Medal. Way 31's Nicole Zadik joins us live after attending that ceremony and learning about the man's heroic actions more than 55 years ago.
Dan, the Silver Star Medal is the third highest military honor. And after hearing about Corporal Jack Riley's acts of heroism during the Vietnam War, there really is no man better suited for this honor. Now, Corporal Riley served in the Marine Corps and fought in one of the Marines' most historic battles, the Battle of Gatlin's Corner in 1967. The battle only lasted 6 hours, but 15 Marines died and 47 were wounded. Now, during one of the most intense moments, Riley took out 3 attacking machine gun crews with a grenade launcher, holding his ground as the battle raged on. This battle is historic because no other battle that lasted for such a short amount of time resulted in 3 of the nation's highest decorations for valor, including one tonight with the Silver Star Medal. Now, 55 years later, Corporal Riley says it's an honor to receive the award, but his thoughts are with his brothers who didn't make it out.
To all of you Marines that are here tonight from India Company 39, man, what we went through and the fact that we all actually made it when so many of our brothers didn't.
Marine Corps General Eric Smith presented the medal, a medal that he said was 55 years past due. The ceremony today was put on by the Gatlin's Corner Foundation. Their purpose is to make sure the sacrifice of everyone who fought in the Battle of Gatlin's Corner is always remembered. Reporting live in Huntsville, Nicole Zadik, Way 31 News.
In case you were counting there, that's four stars on that general's shoulders there. That's not a normal thing to see a four-star, or to ever get to meet a four-star general, much less have one come and present the award. But he is the assistant commandant of the Marine Corps, second in charge of all Marines in that respect and understanding. And he said once this passed his desk and he realized it was 55 and a half years overdue, there was no way he was going to miss being here. And so we're thankful. So even though Jack is not in the room, I hope he's watching online. He is still our faith family, our brother, and he is a hero to many of us. So we will honor him by thanking him together in this room now.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.